The topic for today is to love or to be loved. If you read back a few verses from our Bible reading today, in John 13, verse 27, you find the scene that sets the stage for this profound moment. Jesus just washed the disciples' feet. A very shocking act of service. And then he shares a piece of bread with Judas Iscariot, and we are told Satan entered into him, him being Judas. Judas leaves the room and leaves to betray Jesus. The clock is now ticking down at the cross. And into that tent, anxious and fearless silence, Jesus begins to speak. His inner circle is reeling. Their world is collapsing. The man they thought was the Messiah, the one who could solve all their problems, free them from Rome, restore Israel's glory, fix the political and economical issues, is now talking about being glorified by leaving them. Their problem is one of a profound solution. They follow Jesus, disciples, and the worshippers of Christ follow Jesus, expecting a solution bringer. They expected Jesus to provide a solution for all their problems. They expected him to be a fixer of their broken systems, their flawed laws. But instead, they were getting a farewell message from Jesus himself. Their understanding of power, glory, and mission is about to be crucified. And they don't know about it yet. The sin manifest here is human. They wanted Jesus to solve the Roman problem, and he wanted to solve the problem of sin. They were looking for a commander, and Jesus was acting as a servant. They were utterly lost because their framework for how the world was built was now falling apart. We may not have a physical Jesus in the world today, but we are heirs to the disciples' confusion. Our world today is built around the altar of problem solving. We are a culture of fixers. We want one person to come and take all our problems away. We believe that every issue has a solution, a hack, or a plan. We believe every problem has a political policy or a strategic initiative to solve it. When a relationship is strained, we look for the right communication techniques to solve it. I don't think anyone here has a girlfriend. Everyone's either married or, It's something that happens in the world today where you fall into a relationship and you don't know how to, you fall out of a relationship and you don't know how to take yourself back into it. Because most people expect that if someone else can't come up with a solution, then who am I to? When someone shares a deep grief with us, our finest chance, if your friend comes to you and says, I'm going through this or I'm going through that, our first instinct is to try to help them solve it, to offer a silver lining, because we can't bear to sit and watch them in their pain. Even in the church, we can be more focused on solving the problems of attendance, who's coming to church today, who's coming next week, or problems of budget. How much is this, how much is being spent this month, next month, than the problems of other people right in front of us. The mindset is exhausting, and this is because it turns people into projects. and it turns relationships into work or tasks that needs to be completed. It makes love conditional. It's if you don't have something to offer me, then I have no reason to be here. It turns a relationship into a business contract. I will love you once I have fixed you, or I will love you if I agree to your conditions. That's the terms, those are the terms the world is based on right now. We like the disciples. We are like the disciples, and we are often invested in the kingdom we want to be in, rather than the kingdom we have to build ourselves. We want a God who solves our problems, and we are uneasy with a God who calls us to love one another. Okay, so what was God saying in the text? In John chapter 13, what was God saying? Into the disciples' panic. Into the disciples' panic, Jesus does not give a new strategic plan. He doesn't outline a revised mission statement for the post-Judas organization. He doesn't promise to solve their impending crisis. Rather, Jesus told them he was leaving. He gives them a commandment, but if it's not a commandment, it's more like a strategic response to what they were expecting. But Jesus gave a commandment before he left. He said, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. And how has Jesus loved them? Was it by washing their dirty feet? No. Was it by sharing a meal with Judas who betrayed him? No. It was by saving them in their pride, their confusion, and their failure. Jesus, the one Son of God, was acting as a servant to his disciples. The good news in this text is that God's primary response to a broken world is not a program, but his presence in our lives. It's love made tangible in the presence of Jesus Christ. Jesus was God's message, or God's way of saying, I love you. His glory is not revealed in overwhelming force, but in overwhelming love. A love that serves, a love that kneels, and a love that goes to a cross. The gospel in this text is the shocking announcement that our value is not in our utility, not in what we can solve or what we can fix, but in our identity as the beloved children of God. Before they do anything right, before they understand anything clearly, Jesus calls them little children. It's a term of incredible tenderness. It's Jesus' way of saying, we, all of us, both the old, the young, are all children of God. In their worst moments, they are not called failures, but they are called children. They are loved, they are cared for, and the solution to their fear is not a better plan, but it's the certainty that they are held in a love that will go to hell and back for them. The mission of church is found on a strategy, is founded, but not on a strategy, but on the reality that God is received, God is accepted, and God gives us his sacrificial love with our brother in Christ, Jesus Christ. And all these are biblical terms. How do they apply to our world now? On a Tuesday afternoon, it means the pressure is off. The pressure to have all the answers, to fix everyone's issues, to solve every problem. Our calling is not to be solution bringers, but to be the bearers of love, just as Jesus was to us. This changes everything. It means we can sit with a grieving friend and not say a word, because our presence is a truer act of love than any cliche we could offer. It means we can engage in difficult conversations about hard topics, not to win, not to fix, but to truly see them in our love as one and all children of God. It means we can serve in the nursery, visit the sick, or take a meal to a new parent, not to check it off the list as I'm a good community member, I'm a good friend, but just to show love unto one another. What today's topic is really telling us is we don't do things just to justify or to give ourselves gratitude. We should do these things as an act of love, because that is Jesus' commandment for us. It means the world we all know as Christians, not by our perfect theology, our flawless politics, or our imperfect buildings, not by our love, not by our trust, but by our love. A love that is patient, kind, humble, a love that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. You came here today with perhaps a problem you need God to solve, and God may indeed provide a solution, because, like it or not, God is here to watch over us. There will be solutions to each problem. But first, before anything else, God looks at your anxiety. He looks at your confusion, your fear, and he says unto you, little child, you are loved. Just as I am loved by the Father, I say unto you, I love you. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to fix yourself first. Receive that love, soak in it, and then, filled with that love, share it to people around you. You will find yourself naturally turning to the next person, not to fix them, but just to love them. It's one thing in this world to give, it's one thing in this world to get, it's one thing in this world to be stable financially, mentally. All this is impossible without the love we have for one each other, the love we have for our community, the love we have for ourselves, and the love we have for God. As we have come to this place today, may we go with hearts full of God's love. We remember the command that Jesus gave to us, which is, love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. So go now, strengthened by God's Spirit, guided by Christ's example, and filled with the blessing of God. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and mind in Jesus' name. And I say, Amen.